Today we are continuing to look at how we can become true disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our text today, James links discipleship to pain and suffering in a way that doesn't make sense to most of us. Most of us don't want to suffer. We don't see anything good about suffering, and we try to avoid it at all costs, if possible. But James says we should consider it pure joy when we face trials. Now, I don't know about you, but joy is not what comes to mind when I'm going through something horrible. It doesn't bring us joy to watch loved ones suffer from debilitating illnesses. It doesn't bring us joy to wait for the results of medical tests. It doesn't bring us joy to lose our parents or our spouses or our children. But the joy that James is talking about doesn't come from the event itself. The joy comes from what we realize, or what we have the chance to realize during trials. The joy comes from allowing these things to deepen our relationship with God and allowing these things to help us grow as disciples. So listen as I read, or read along with me, in James 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When we look at the book of James, especially this passage, we encounter a challenging instruction. James tells us to consider it pure joy when we experience trials. This is counterintuitive to what we generally strive for. Because who finds joy in suffering? But James isn't really talking about finding joy because we're suffering. He wants us to embrace discipleship by seeing life's trials and challenges as opportunities for spiritual growth and maturity. It's not about something horrendous going on and you going, hoo-wee. No. It's about looking at these things that happen in our lives. It's about looking at them and saying, my God is with me through this. My God is giving me strength. My God is giving me peace. And even though it seems right now that my world is burning down, my God loves me. It's an opportunity. These bad times are an opportunity for spiritual growth and maturity that we won't find if things are always good. Now, James, also known as James the Just, James, the brother of Jesus, he wrote this letter to Jewish Christians who had been dispersed among the nations. His purpose was practical, to guide them in authentically living out their faith. The central themes of this letter include faith and works, wisdom and speech, wealth and poverty, patience and prayer, all emphasizing ethical behavior and living a faith demonstrated through actions. James sets the tone for discipleship in these opening verses, and he encourages us to find joy in many trials. Notice the text didn't say any trials. The text says many trials. But James knew that going through various trials and enduring them with faith will strengthen our faith. James emphasizes that the transformative power of perseverance, illustrating how it leads to maturity and completeness. And that's what we are to be striving for: maturity, spiritual maturity, spiritual completeness Because it's these things that aid us in being disciples. And this passage not only urges us to endure challenges, but also encourages us to flourish in the face of adversity. It encourages us to look at adversity as an opportunity for personal growth. Fully grasping this concept requires us to understand the historical and theological context. James was the leader of the early Jerusalem church. He encountered significant trials. Early Christians faced marginalization, persecution, and dispersion. But James didn't see these trials as mere obstacles. He saw them as opportunities for growth. This outlook aligns him with his brother Jesus' teachings on discipleship. Jesus and James urge us to embrace suffering and follow Jesus daily. It's a call to endure suffering not for its own sake, but for the deeper work that God accomplishes through it. Put another way, and maybe a little bit more bluntly here, it's about truly understanding that life is not about ourselves. A spiritual life, a mature spiritual life, is not about ourselves. It's about God. It's about bringing others to God. You know, today we confront various personal and communal challenges that test our commitment to discipleship. These challenges may include health crises, financial struggles, relational conflicts, societal injustices. And these trials can sometimes shake our faith and tempt us to opt for mere belief rather than active discipleship. And let's be honest, sometimes these trials can make people turn away altogether. But James encourages us to view these trials as tests of faith that build endurance. And this endurance isn't passive. It's not just about riding the wave till it evens out. It's about showing unwavering faithfulness, even in the middle of mess. We see challenges, not only in our personal life, but in the life of our church. Our world is increasingly skeptical of organized religion. And that skepticism creates a gap between faith and daily life. There are many people that perceive Christianity is as irrelevant. How should we as a community of believers tackle these challenges? Do we retreat into a defensive position? Or do we view these trials as opportunities to showcase the transformative power of genuine discipleship? So often when someone says a thing we don't like, our first reaction is to get defensive. Stop it. Listen to people. You don't grow your faith in a vacuum. If your faith is never challenged by you or by others, it's not growing. It's not growing. James gives us strategies to combat the challenges we face. He encourages us to adopt a joyful perspective on trials. Understand, this approach doesn't ignore the pain, but it acknowledges the purpose behind it. The purpose is that we trust that God is always working to refine our faith and our character. And by embracing this way of looking at it, this viewpoint, we can confront trials with resilience, knowing that God uses them to mold us into mature and complete disciples. James goes on to stress the importance of perseverance. Much like a runner that hits that wall but keeps going. Despite exhaustion, despite obstacles, they keep going. In our spiritual lives, perseverance means remaining faithful to Christ's teachings, even when it's countercultural, even when it's difficult. It involves daily practices of prayer, reading scripture, and engaging with the community, which strengthens our spiritual resolve for the long haul. I can promise you, if you've let yourself become lax on the spiritual disciplines of prayer and scripture, it shows. It shows. You may still consider yourself a disciple, but if you are not attending daily to your spiritual life, your desire to be a disciple fades. Being a disciple means making God a priority, means making Jesus a priority. It means making your relationship with God and with Jesus a priority. And if you aren't, then not only are you showing God he's not a priority, but the world sees it too, because you aren't the person you were when you were attending to your spiritual disciplines. James shows us, tells us the ultimate purpose of trials: maturity and completeness in Christ. This maturity isn't about flawless perfection, but about wholeness. It's a fully integrated faith that permeates everything, every aspect of our lives. It entails being complete in love, integrity, and wisdom, embodying the character of Jesus Christ in our interactions with others. As we progress in this maturity, we become more effective witnesses of God's love and grace in the world. But how do we as individuals move from being mere disciples to mere believers, rather, to true disciples? How do we embrace trials as opportunities for growth rather than obstacles? One thing we can do is embrace a joyful perspective. Start each day with a prayer of gratitude, expressing thanks to God for both the blessings and the challenges that will come that day. Ask for the grace to view difficulties through the lens of spiritual growth. Another thing we can do is be part of a spiritual community. We can surround ourselves with fellow believers who uplift and support us in our journey. We've talked before about getting an accountability partner where you can share your struggles and you can receive prayer and you can receive guidance. What we touched on a while ago is dedicating yourself to spiritual disciplines. Establish regular routines of prayer and reading scripture and worship. And these disciplines ground your faith and provide inner strength and resilience during the tough times. We can seek out opportunities to contribute within our church and community. Acts of service shifts our focus from our own struggles to the needs of others. One other thing we can do is keep a journal of your spiritual journey, recording how God has been faithful in past trials. Record His work in your current circumstances. This pattern helps you identify patterns of growth and fosters trust in God's ongoing work in your life. And as we put these strategies into action, we start to embody the characteristics of mature discipleship. Things such as perseverance, wisdom, love, and integrity. We become living examples of God's transformative power, radiating as beacons of hope and guidance in a world that is in dire need of them. Think about Joseph in the Old Testament. He endured trials. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was unjustly imprisoned. But Joseph remained faithful to God, and his perseverance led him to become the second most powerful man in Egypt. Think about Paul. Despite enduring many hardships for the sake of the gospel, Paul considered them as opportunities to rely more deeply on God's strength and grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10, Paul expresses how his weakness showcases the power of Christ. Think about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You may not be very familiar with him. I've quoted him in sermons before, but he was a German pastor who resisted the Nazi regime. And he was eventually imprisoned and executed for his faith. But despite his tribulations, he remained steadfast in his discipleship, emphasizing that the cost of following Christ. We continue to read Bonhoeffer's writings for encouragement. And such writings help us embrace trials with joy and perseverance, because we know God will make good of them. Maybe he won't make good of them for us, but he'll make good of them for the kingdom. How do we respond to personal trials? When faced with health issues, financial difficulties, relational conflicts, how do we respond? How we respond typically is very telling of what we think of God, how we feel about God and Jesus. As a whole, just because we're human, we are naturally self-centered. We're selfish. Our whole world is about us. But that's not who God calls us to be. As we mature in our spirituality, we learn to count it joy through trials, because it's in our trials that we can truly glorify God. Made the comment somebody not long ago. It's not hard to glorify God when you got a new car in the garage and maybe just redecorated your house. But when we make a difference for the kingdom, a larger difference for the kingdom is when we can glorify God when we don't have a house, when we don't have a car, when our parents are dying, when our spouse is dying, when our children are dying. The hardest thing that has been for me to realize in my journey with Christ is that it's not about me. When we spend, y'all know it's just the blink of an eye that we're here. We have eternity waiting for us. I'm not downplaying the bad things that can happen in our lives, because some of them are absolutely devastating. But y'all, it's not even a blip in the grand scheme of eternity. It's not even a blip. And what if in that blip, a terrible, horrible, whatever is going on, we can reach somebody for Christ and assure their eternity with God in heaven, with us in heaven? That's what matters. That's what matters. There's joy. This text in James calls us to a deeper level of faith. It's a discipleship that embraces trials with joy, perseverance, and a vision of becoming more mature and complete in Christ. While not easy, it is profoundly rewarding. By viewing trials as opportunities for growth and engaging in community, committing to spiritual disciplines, to serving others, and reflecting on God's faithfulness, we move from being mere believers to true disciples equipped for every good work. Bow your heads with me, please. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your word that guides and strengthens us. Help us to embrace the trials we face with a joyful heart, knowing that you are at work within us, knowing that you are producing perseverance and maturity. Grant us the grace to persevere in faith, to grow in love, and to embody your character in all that we do. As we journey from belief to discipleship, may we become more like Christ, shining his light in a world that desperately needs hope and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.